Okay, let's get started. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sean Christensen. I'm a senior product marketing manager with Microsoft Corporation, and this session is about application management in the private and public cloud. What we're going to get into as part of this session, I'm going to spend, after the introduction, I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about how we approach and how we view the application delivery lifecycle. And then I want to get into that life cycle and talk about a couple of different concepts. One is this idea of application self-service. How do we make it possible for our customers, you as our customers, to empower your users, your application owners, your application service delivery managers in your organization to actually do some of the work that you would normally do, but let them do it themselves? I'm then going to spend some time talking about how we approach delivering and deploying and managing consistent applications. Whether you want to, this gets simple example is, hey, I want to be able to deploy an application into development, into test, into UAT, and into production, and even into recovery, and make sure it's consistent each time and every time. How do we do that? How do we deliver that capability? We call it service templates. Then get into some performance monitoring capabilities, how we understand how our applications are performing. It's not enough that an application is just up and available, but actually, how is it performing? Is it giving your users a good experience? Even though it is up, and being able to understand the difference between the two. And then lastly, I'll spend a little bit of time talking about how we approach managing and monitoring Windows Azure-based applications. So let's get into this. So first off, when we think about delivering scalable, standardized, and predictable applications, we think about this in a couple of ways. One is, and the first is abstraction. We want to look at how we abstract the application from the operating system. And the concept, the term that we've been using around this is Server App V, the capability that we deliver to do this. This allows us to take that application that has traditionally been stored on and installed onto a server running an operating system. Insert CD, click or download software, click next, and the server operating system and the software are intrinsically linked. Abstraction means let's decouple the binaries, the resources, the state, and the configuration of that application from the underlying server OS so that we can manage them exclusively of each other. We think about consistency. We think about this concept that we have out of Virtual Machine Manager called service templates that allow us to provide standardized specifications for deploying applications and being able to define how they are configured and scaled at the time at when we define them, and also configure them, update the configurations when we get ready to deploy that application into our environment, be it dev, test, UAT, production, or likewise. The third area is insight. This is where we get into application performance monitoring and being able to have the structure to define what are the desired performance levels, what are our SLAs around application performance, based on a number of things such as end user experience, maybe synthetic transactions, but also not just being able to understand how the application is running at a holistic level or at a virtual machine-centric level, but really getting into the details of how an app is performing, and for .NET applications, down to the code level without having to do additional instrumentation. We take care of that for you. The analogy I talk about with a lot of people is daycare. You're like me, you have kids, they're in daycare, you go to pick them up, and you walk up to the door of the daycare and you hear screaming. Now, in a virtual machine-centric world where your application is installed on a VM, and maybe you can only see inside, you can see the virtual machine, is it up? You don't know if that screaming is they're upset and mad about something, or they're having a grand old time and really enjoying themselves and are not going to want to leave. Application performance monitoring, specifically within System Center 2012, sees into that room. With .NET applications, we can see down to the code level of a .NET app and tell you where an error is occurring. If there's a performance degradation, where that is. What is it, and what needs to be done to address it? Or we can provide that information to the necessary developers and the like to be able to see what that is. But not just for the applications. This is monitoring at the OS level, at the hardware level, at the network level, and even the link between network components to be able to give you an end-to-end view of how your application is performing. And the last area is about control. One of the components of System Center 2012, called App Controller, provides visibility of quota utilization across your applications, across your private cloud environments that are both running on-premise and off-premise in Windows Azure, and gives you a single view through a single browser interface based on your Active Directory identity to be able to manage those environments. So think about being able to delegate a slice of compute, storage, and memory capacity out of your data center to a user and give them an interface that they can manage that and deploy and install into that slice of capacity their own virtual machines, their own applications from templates that you provide them, and they can work within their kind of their little sandbox of environment that they can play with and use, and they don't infringe or touch anybody else's. You still retain control of what they have access to. That's their quota. And we'll show you what those things look like. So let's talk about the application delivery lifecycle. At the start, we have the application specification. How the application is defined, how it's composed, what it's built, what it needs to be, how it needs to be built, what are the components that go into it. Not the development of the application, but the specification of how this application is going to be run. Based off of that information, we then create what's called a service template. Now, this service template contains all the configuration settings and information and relationships for this application. If it's a three-tier app, we may have three different tiers in our template, each with its own operating system, hardware profile, application profile, the virtual networking configurations that make up the dependencies between the different tiers that go to comprise the entire application. We save that template to a library for when we're ready to deploy it. And we can version that, so we can create version 1.0, 1.1, 1.2 as we change this template over time. When we get ready to deploy it, we take that template and we can customize the deployment of that template. So if we have a three-tier web app or a three-tier application, web, data, and front tier, but as we deploy it, that web tier needs to have three instances. We can configure that ahead of deployment so it knows when I deploy my application, I'm going to deploy three instances of my web tier, three instances of my front tier, and maybe two or one of my data tier. And we can define what those are ahead of time, hit deploy, and System Center takes care of the rest. It actually deploys that application based on our configuration at deployment, based on the settings inside that template for us, the same time, every time. Getting ahead of myself, we then deploy that service. Again, deploy it either into our development environment, our test environment, our UAT environment, our production environment. The key benefit here is we're deploying the same app, the same configuration settings. We haven't changed anything. We're just selecting the template, deploying it. And you can give that capability to your users to do themselves if you chose. Now, we think about updating it. We're not having to update the deployed instance, the deployed application. Our updates are done to the template, and then we redeploy the template. So if we have a new application package, we've changed and upgraded our application. Instead of installing that app into a deployed, or installing that new package into our deployed app, we can then actually update our template and then hit deploy the service template and it installs everything for us again. So let's get into this, one of the first topics I talked about, which is application self-service. Now, application self-service leverages a couple of different components from System Center 2012. First one is System Center 2012 App Controller. Next is System Center 2012 Operations Manager. And for just to save my voice, I'm going to drop the System Center 2012 now and just call them App Controller and Operations Manager. Enabling application self-service really gets broken down into three particular areas. First one is this concept of delegation with control. Historically, everything related to what gets deployed in the data center was done by your data center administrators, your IT pros. What we think about with application self-service is being able to relinquish some of that control or give away some of that control or delegate it to your customers, to your application owners within your business units, establish a quota so it enforces, there's some enforcement of what they can and can't do, what they can deploy and can't deploy, and then give that power, empower your users to actually leverage their own compute capacity, taking advantage of standardized, maybe virtual machine templates, or application templates and deploy them into their own little slice of compute power inside a data center, and then have quotas in place to really enforce that. And we see here we want to deploy a new service of our application called Stock Trader, but in order to do it, we don't have enough virtual machines because we're only allowed a certain number of virtual machines, and we don't have enough memory. So we have to then go back and request more, maybe because we only paid for a certain amount. Our data center or our cost center was charged a certain amount. We certainly have plenty of disk space, so we haven't used that up. We haven't used up our CPU counts that we've been allocated, but we need more memory and virtual machine allocations, and we can go request those. The second area is about empowering application owners. Application owners, you want to be able to give them access to their own content based on who they are within the organization, and then give them the power to create, manage, and move resources between their repositories as they see fit. Historically, or maybe now, you're dealing with that on your own, and it's taking time out of your schedule to be able to deliver this. Application self-service is about empowering your application owners to serve themselves, to deploy their own apps into their own, again, compute environments that you delegate to them, and give them the power to do what they need to do while you, as the data center administrator, maintain overall control and oversight of the data center environment and your private cloud storage and compute resources. And here's an example from our app controller component of System Center, where we can copy, delete, deploy different templates out of our library that's been assigned to us. Now, these templates can be assigned to more than one person. In this case, I can grab a different version of my Stock Trader application and deploy that into my private cloud environment. The third area is a single management point. Whether it is private cloud resource and compute capabilities or public cloud-based resource and compute capabilities, we're able to see those resources from a single interface, from a single pane of glass, to use the analogy. We have job auditing and task progress, so we can see what progress is happening for the different applications, the different virtual machines we're deploying, and we see change history related to that. And this is a snapshot out of System Center App Controller showing those two environments, both our private cloud environment and our public cloud environment, side by side, managed through a single browser-based interface. So that's enabling application self-service. Now, I've talked enough about it. Let's go ahead and get into a demonstration where we actually show what application self-service looks like using the App Controller component of System Center 2012. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over to my demo environment here. Click. Okay. Has anybody here played with App Controller yet? No? Cool. One person. Thank you. Hands up. Oh. Sorry. I got more practice when I was coaching my son's baseball team, so my pitch is a little bit better. What you're looking at here is System Center App Controller. Now, this is your self-service experience into the private cloud as well as public cloud to access and control the resources that are provided to you. Now, the first thing I want you to note is, one, we integrate identity into this experience. So right now, I'm logged in as the administrator. I can see everything. I can see that I have access to two virtual machine manager private cloud instances, my pre-prod and my production environment, and four Azure environments that I have subscriptions for. I click up here to my overview, and I can see, okay, two virtual machine manager clouds, we just saw those, four Azure subscriptions, just saw those. I can see I got six virtual machines deployed, nine Windows Azure services, three of them with one or more instances, and I can see the quota that's assigned or available as part of this cloud environment. So we see current usage, I have three virtual machines deployed in this cloud, but I'm unlimited. So if I can go in, I'm the administrator, I can deploy and access whatever I want. Now, that's the administrator view. What about your standard user view? So let me flick over here to I'm signed in as just a simple person called cloud user. Again, using identity built in based off of Active Directory. I see, as cloud user, I have access to my four Azure subscription environments, but only one private cloud environment, in this case, my pre-production. I go over here to my overview,
I can see I have access to one Virtual Machine Manager cloud. I have a lot less virtual machines that I can see. And I can also see I have certain quota limits placed on me. I can only use 28 virtual processors. I can only use 426 gigs of storage and only four or just shy of 5 gigs of memory. So I can see what these are, the allocations made available to me as a user in my data center environment. You as the data center administrator define that either in you dictate here's what you get, or you set up a request offering through our service catalog capability that's part of Service Manager, and you enable a user to come in and subscribe to a certain slice of my private cloud environment. And as you can also see, we make available some common tasks that we allow our users to do. Here they can deploy a new service or a virtual machine. If I flip over to the administrator console, I can see, well, there's a little bit more that I can do here by virtue of the permissions that I'm allowed. The key piece is I'm enabling my application owners, those people that need the infrastructure services I provide, the application services I provide. Again, this could either be an application, this could be a virtual machine that we deploy using a virtual machine template. I'll show templates in just a little bit. But I can make this, give power to my users, empower them to be able to deploy their own virtual machines, deploy their own applications, say, into a development environment or a test environment. And I take a bit more of a hands-off approach in the day-to-day running, not in control. You still, as the data center administrator, maintain control and oversight of what is happening because you see everything. But the day-to-day stuff, you leave up to the individual application owners and let them manage themselves. Make sense? Yes? Any questions so far? Lean over here. Look, no? All right, sorry, I'm gonna keep going. So we talked about self-service and being able to give your application owners, your users inside your organizations, the ability to deploy applications, deploy virtual machines. I'm gonna talk now about how we approach delivering consistent applications within your organization and how we make it possible to deploy those and how we templatize that and make it easier to manage. And this is using two components out of the System Center product, App Controller and Virtual Machine Manager. So again, think about application models in the private cloud. We've got your traditional applications that we have in our environment. Think of the traditional applications as this is where we really are today. That standard application, it's running on an operating system, and really, in a lot of cases, what most organizations are dealing with. Server app B, not necessarily there, or in place, gaining some interest from some of our customers. The second piece is having a consistent approach. When we think about consistency, we're looking at how we deliver the same application each and every time we deploy it. I remember in previous lives, doing application development and deploying an application into test, we had big, huge installation instructions, maybe about that thick, depending on how much you printed out. And if you missed a step, or if you didn't have an automated routine, I started writing a lot of automated installers back then, you missed steps, you didn't have a consistent environment. The tester would come back saying, testing failed. You realized, oh, not everything deployed to the test server, or not everything deployed to the UAT server. So how do you make sure it deploys everything that you develop from development, goes into test, goes into the UAT, goes into prod consistently and effectively? That's what we're thinking about here. The last area is the abstracted approach. Now, this is where we're using Server App V and the full potential of private cloud and being able to encapsulate our application, abstract it from the operating system, deploy it when we want and where we want, and leveraging better scalability capacity, better patching capabilities for our applications and the like. Now, we know not everybody is there yet, and in some cases, applications need to be rewritten to take advantage of some of these features. And I'll talk about and show some of those when I pull up the templates. But this is where we see the future going for applications in the data center environment, whether they are local, hosted, or cloud-based. Now, key thing is there's no right or wrong location or right or wrong answer for an organization. It's based on what you need and what's best for your business. But this is purely giving our customers a way to determine which is most effective for their organization, which is going to give them the most benefit with managing the applications in their data centers. So when we think about standardizing our applications, let's look at a simple example. So I talked about this concept of a service template, and I'm going to expand this a little bit and show you what I mean by a service template. So we're going to talk about a simple multi-tiered .NET application. We have three tiers: web, app, and data. Inside our service template, we are able, as part of each tier, able to define a scale-out and health policy for each tier. So we know, okay, when we deploy our application, the web tier, we might need 2 or 3 instances of that web server to be deployed with this application because it's going to be medium scale or large scale. For our application tier, we may want 1 or 2 instances. In our data tier, we may just want 1 or we may want 2, depending on our configuration and our desire for what our application will look like. But we can define that in our service template. We define, okay, which operating system, in this case IIS, our application server, and SQL. And then for each tier, we define, start out with a hardware profile based on an operating system VHD, an operating system settings, or what's called the OS profile, and then the application profile, which is really a MS deployment package and associated configuration settings for this application. Within our application tier, again, we have our hardware profile, we have our OS operating system profile, and then we have a separate application profile because this is not the web tier, this is an app-specific application tier, and we have the details and configuration settings for our application associated here. At our data tier, again, hardware profile, OS profile, and the third one is our SQL profile, in this case, a SQL DAC and its associated configuration settings. All of this information is based out of and stored in our service template library inside a virtual machine manager. And then we pull these virtual machine templates together to create our service template that we then deploy. Now, make sure, yep. So I showed that or talked about that. Now let's show it. So we had app controller there. Oop, there we go. Move on there. Ta-da. Now, just to make sure that this is not just screen capture, I'll show you what we got here first. So the first thing I want to show you is here I am inside a virtual machine manager, and I'm looking at the different virtual machines in my organization, the fabric I have, so all the hosts I can manage inside a virtual machine manager. And yes, you are seeing vCenter. We can actually manage VMware from within Virtual Machine Manager and connect directly to vSphere and talk to it. So you can manage Hyper-V, Citrix, yes. If you haven't seen that, go check out some of those sessions, because I'll just summarize. I'm getting off topic, but I don't care. It's kind of cool to talk about. Citrix, Hyper-V, VMware, all from one console, this one. The other three cannot say that at this point in time, and I don't know when they are going to be able to, but right now they can't. So if you want to see more, come down to our booths for System Center. Glad to show you a little bit more about how all that works, but I'm going to keep on going. One of the pieces in here is this concept of templates, and I talked about two types of templates, a virtual machine template and a service template. Very simply, a service template is made up of virtual machine templates. Everybody got that? Cool, okay. A virtual machine template is a template of a virtual machine. Haha, very funny. I'm here all week. You guys have had a long day. Thank you. I was supposed to get we can be a little lighthearted here, okay? So a virtual machine template, and here I've got three examples of a virtual machine template and what they're configured for. In one case, I have one configured for web services, one configured for my frontier. I'll go ahead and open one of those up. Oh, where'd you go? You disappeared on me. Oh, it's thinking. There we go. Live demo environments, gotta love them. Now this is good. Okay, so with our virtual machine template, we can specify, as I talked about, hardware configuration. So everything related to my particular virtual machine looks familiar from Hyper-V Manager, correct? So processor, memory, do we have a floppy drive? Who has floppy drives anymore? Video adapters. And then what sort of storage devices do we want to connect to this? What networking do we want to have in place? What availability, BIOS, CPU priority, so on and so forth for hardware? Configure the OS. What's the admin password? What's the product key? What role is this going to have? Domain, any particular scripts and details. So if we will have an answer file for an installation process, we can configure that. What's the application we're going to configure here? In this case, this is a web application for our Contoso Expense Manager. Based on this particular operating or hardware profile, we don't have a SQL configuration, so we're fine there. We can have custom properties if you want to have some of those as part of your VM template. Additional settings on quota points, dependencies, additional validations, and then who has access to this particular VM template. So simple look at this is what a virtual machine template looks like and allows us to define a VM that we're going to deploy. So historically, when we would create a new virtual machine, we'd select new and define all those features, and then it would go off and build it. Now we can create a template that we save, and we then publish and make available. So if we want to let our own users deploy their own virtual machine templates, we save that template into the library. We give our users permission to deploy it from within AppController, so they can go into AppController, select that VM template, and hit Deploy New VM. Or we can combine that virtual machine template together into a service template. Now, a service template, again, is made up of virtual machine templates. In this case, I've actually already opened it just to make it quicker. Here's a three-tier .NET app-based service template for an application called Expense Manager that we actually use as our new demo application. We pre-built this for System Center 2012. I have my web tier. Open up the properties. Hey, look familiar? Hardware configuration, OS configuration, app configuration for my web application that we just looked at. But it's also connected to details about a virtual NIC defined within Virtual Machine Manager as our virtual networks, connected to our Contoso virtual network, linked to our SQL tier for our Expense Manager application, and I have our hardware configuration for that. Click down to application configuration. You can see I've got my application details. So the question is, where's the application stored? Is it referenced in TFS? No. Funny you should actually bring that question up. I shared a cab ride with one of the guys from TFS last night. We actually talked through how we could actually automate TFS into Virtual Machine Manager to build this and deploy it. Stay tuned. We're going to play around with that one and see what we can do, because I really think we've got all the building blocks to do it. Don't quote me on that yet, but I think we're pretty close. So for the SQL Server configuration, we have all the details related to this particular tier, which is the SQL tier for our application. And the last one is our front tier. Again, hardware configuration, I won't go through all the details, but hardware configuration, our particular application, in this case, the details about the specific application that we are deploying as part of this instance of, in this case, Expense Manager. This is our service template. Now, when I'm ready to, I can then save it and validate it, it's already in there. It shows here's the virtual machine templates that I'm actually using as part of this. And then when I'm ready to deploy this, I hit Configure Deployment, and it's going to bring up and say, all right, where do you want to put it? I'll put in my pre-prod. I'll hit OK. And it is going to, should come back to me here in a second. Actually, let me go check on jobs. There we go. So we go over here to job, and it's creating a, So it is going through, and it's getting ready to now deploy my service into my pre-prod environment from that template. Oh, bang. That's what happens when you try and push the demo a little bit too far. But here we can, are able to now configure for our particular deployment what are the different components and the details related to each of those. And we can take a look at the different, that's what's causing problems. We can take a look at the properties of our tiers. So we can see here's my server that's going to be deployed. And when I'm ready, I hit deploy service. And by the way, for those PowerShell or script junkies in the room, everything is now based in PowerShell. So I can take this, I can actually capture that, save it, and embed it as part of, say, an orchestrator runbook, and call that automation task at a later date and time, and it'll grab these parameters and deploy my particular service for me. So instead of having to go through my UI again, I actually grab the script, run it, and I'm good. So that's going to take some time, so I'll go ahead and not. So that's delivering consistent applications. Oh, we can see it's now, it's going to remove that configuration. It got ready to deploy it. I said no, so it's now pulling it back out, so it cleans up after itself. So we can see that inside the jobs window, inside of Virtual Machine Manager. So I talked about virtual machine templates. I showed service templates. In the context of delivering consistent applications, why is this important? Well, again, if you're deploying an application into a dev environment, into a test environment, into a UAT environment, hey, even to a recovery environment, you have a template that can be leveraged to deploy an instance of your application the same time every time, just with a few clicks of a button, not having to remember, okay, did I get all the install scripts? Did I get everything set up correctly? It's all there. Operating system, application, tiers, networking, all configured, ready to go. And you can either do this yourself or delegate control to, say, the application manager owner for a particular application and say, you know what, deploy, here's your slice of quota, deploy however many instances of this application you wish. Are the virtual machine manager templates, are the VM templates configurable when you're building your service template? So again, the answer is yes. When you are configured, so your service template is made up of one or more virtual machine templates. So what the key is, you can have a service template that has actually only one VM template contained within it. That is correct. So no, you will go back, you change the virtual machine template, and then reapply that virtual machine template to the service template. So the question was, if I have a virtual, let me actually go back to the demo environment. So if I heard you correctly, if I have, in this case, I have three virtual machine templates. If in the process of creating my new service template, I want to update that virtual machine template and create something different. Now I got you. To some degree, yes, you can, because it's in the context of, let me grab, where's my service? Oh, there's OpenDesigner. I have the details here. Well, let's try this. So, dynamic memory, we're going to change my memory. That's interesting. Didn't want to let me do it. Generally, I think you can to some degree, but in most cases, no. You use the server, the VM template as a building block, and then apply it to your particular service template. But you do bring up a good point. What about VM template sprawl? Yes, that is a potential administration challenge that you want to be conscious of. One of the things we look at doing is leverage something like Orchestrator to build a monitoring runbook to look for, hey, are there multiple, how many versions of my VM template do I have? And maybe flag the administrator, there's 20, 30 of the same. We don't have those controls built in to into Virtual Machine Manager. We allow you to version different templates, but we don't necessarily have full change control automatically for each of those templates. You can build it using Orchestrator. Okay. The next area I want to touch on is application performance monitoring. How am I doing on time? Oh, I'm doing plenty well on time. So application performance monitoring, there was a great analogy that ironically applied to me as a father of four. APM, I'll walk through this and I'll give you the analogy. From an application performance monitoring perspective, you want to be able to understand how your applications are running. Now, one of those pieces is having a consistent view of your applications. And with System Center 2012, we've actually made this possible through some changes we've done to the console, to the web console, that allow you to embed metrics and alert information across tool sets. So whether you're the administrator and you've got the full-blown Operations Manager console, you've got delegated access through the Operations Manager web client. Wow, it looks kind of familiar. Or you publish this out, say, through a SharePoint portal. Hey. We focused on giving a consistent view of that information all across each interface. So whether you're using the thick client, the web portal, or even publishing data to a SharePoint website, you're able to share that information. It's the same details that comes through. Now, makes it possible, so if we create, say, a dashboard inside of Operations Manager, we can publish that dashboard through the web portal. We can also publish that up to a SharePoint site and give metric information to our managers, and they're looking at the same information we are, if you want your managers to see the same information that you do. But that's one key thing that we've brought into this. The second one is having a complete monitoring solution. So yes, it's one thing to see everything, have great visibility, but the other piece of it is how do I understand a complete picture of how the application is performing. So we've got all of our infrastructure monitoring in place, and with Operations Manager 2012, we've actually introduced the ability to monitor things like network infrastructure and the links between them out of the box. So we can also do server-side monitoring in terms of monitoring the execution of actual code for .NET applications. We can do client-side monitoring for end-user experience to understand related to things like page load times, server network latency, so on and so forth. Or synthetic transaction monitoring, so pre-recorded testing paths that highlight whether or not the application is available, it's responsive, or there's maybe an unexpected response time or metric that's coming back to us. The key thing is we're able to use the same tool to monitor all of it. You don't have to go, well, I can use Ops Manager for only a little bit, and I got to use these other tools. Uh-uh. We can touch all of this now. The other piece is, or how we configure this, really quite simple. Inside of Operations Manager, we identify what components we want to monitor, or what application, and then we go to the server-side configuration and click on two clicks. Turn on performance monitoring. You want to do a client-side, again, two clicks. Set the thresholds. Done. That's how straightforward it is now. What this does is opens up the conversation for IT pros, application administrators, network administrators, and your database administrators. Now, let me ask a question, because I've been in this situation. I'm sure you all have. Someone calls the help desk. My application's running slow. Okay, help desk calls the application, the person that runs the application. What do they say? It's not the app, must be the server. Call the server guys. No, it's not the server, must be the network. Sound familiar? Yeah, I've been there many times. My application's running slowly. Yep. Well, network looks good. Uh-huh. Thank you. Customer's still not happy, but IT guy's like, yeah, that's not my problem. Code passed all testing. Yeah, that's a nice one. Servers are running fine. I always love that one. Here, we can open up that conversation and say, guys, here's the issue. Yes, we can see all that information. We can see that, okay, the server shows the application. Yep, yeah, it's up. It's, it appears to be functioning. But the client side is showing a problem. They're getting poor performance. Chances are, maybe it could be the computer on the person's desk. But we also see that the application is a application performance monitoring enables us to pinpoint where the issue is and help us resolve the errors a lot quicker. So, what does that look like? Let me get my close that out. Close that out. I was just looking at that. I want to get the okay. There we go. So, real quickly, here I am inside of Operations Manager. Now I'm using the web console you can see up here. And if I go over to, I always get stuck looking at Expense Manager Service Level Dashboard. Where's my Expense Manager dashboards? Oh, they're there. So here I am inside the main Operations Manager console. I talked about same experience whether you're using the console or the web console. Here's the main console. There's the web console. Not a whole lot of difference. Permissions, yes, but we're able to give that same similar experience. And as I talked about, application performance is not necessarily, yes, it's up. It's, is it up? Is it working? Now, we can monitor monitor for both experiences and both scenarios from the same console. And here we see we've got Expense Manager availability is good. Yes, application's up. And it's double checking it going, yep, hey, we're good, happy there. Cool. But Expense Manager transactions, not so happy. So here we have, okay, a couple different servers. Things ain't looking so hot there. So let's go take a look at what this looks like. So we can go into the application diagnostics for my particular application. And I'm going to go ahead and click open the details. So this is getting into the alerts. Similar event. That's strange. Let's open it up. And I'm able to see details about my alert, in this case, my Expense Manager Web Services, .NET Performance App. Now, I talked about being able to see into code-level errors inside .NET applications. New feature based on our acquisition of AviCode a couple years ago. We've actually embedded this technology now into Operations Manager, which allows us to instrument and light up code-level errors inside, again, .NET applications. Doesn't mean we can't monitor other applications, but primarily .NET allows us to actually get down to this level of detail. I'll look at the resource view, expand all, aha. There's my error. Guess what? Hey, database guys, here's the problem. And we can take that, we can go up here, we can say, let's export to HTML, copy the link, send that information off to our friends in the database group to say, here's the application error, let's go fix it, let's get the performance back up. But we now have the tools to be able to provide that information for our applications. And again, if it's .NET based, this is in the box. We can also look at similar events. We can look at related events. And nope, I didn't have any performance counters set up for those. Oh, now it wants to be slow. Oh, there we go. and associated performance counters for that. Now it's going to refresh on me. But that starts giving us that view of, hey, what is my, oh, that's app controller. What is the application performance of my app? Yes, it's up, but is it actually performing? If it's not, where is the issue? How can I find out what that is so I can get it back up and running and I can keep my customers happy and I can keep that application ticking along? Now, this application we've been using is our expenses application here that I talked about, which is just a simple web-based application that we're monitoring through our Operations Manager console and being able to see the performance related to it. You can drill in, see the details related to our expenses, add new expense, so on and so forth. So, we're moving along a lot faster than I thought. The last area I want to touch on is Windows Azure. Now, this is with the introduction of the bringing both private and public cloud capabilities into the discussion. We now have a solution to be able to manage both your private cloud and your public cloud deployed applications from a single location within System Center 2012. Now, we're leveraging, in this case, both Ops Manager and App Controller to do this. So when we think about managing those applications across multiple clouds, a couple things just to remember. First off, within our private cloud construct, we use our service templates, leveraging either, say, Hyper-V or VMware or Xen to deploy our applications through Virtual Machine Manager. We deploy those, we monitor and manage them. Across Windows Azure, who here has deployed a Windows Azure application? One, I saw you. Two people, three, okay. You have, so you'll know some of this. You have a configuration package and a configuration settings files for the Azure application. You select those and deploy those. Different configuration for the same application. What we can do is give access to both of those sets of applications, again, through App Controller, through that single pane of glass to be able to monitor and manage them within our environment. Within App Controller for our subscriptions, we have our private keys for our Azure subscriptions stored in our local App Controller database. We use API authentication to the Windows Azure Service API that gives us access to our different environments to be able to pull in and deploy our applications. But again, this gives us that single view of multiple Azure subscriptions, so it's not just an Azure subscription, it's what we have permission to from within App Controller. And then also the ability to go granular in terms of what environment do we want to give people access to. Thought it was a video for a second. No, someone's rolling freight train down the back there. Now, when we think about, we've deployed our applications, but we want to monitor them. And one of the things we brought out with Operations Manager 2012 is the ability to help monitor those off-premise or Azure-based applications. So within Operations Manager for on-premise, we have the performance data events and logs that we monitor for and develop our dashboards and react to. We have our Windows Azure application, where through Ops Manager, we read the app roles and structure of our Windows Azure application through the Azure Service API. The application writes performance data events and logs to underlying table store, and then we read that data, groom it, and present alerts back into Operations Manager. The net result here is you have, within your distributed application model, your on-premise components and your off-premise components both shown together in a single view that we can then monitor, take, and react to or manage and ensure that service is being maintained on an ongoing basis. So Unfortunately, this one died on me just a moment ago. Apologies for that. So I'm going to just show you a screen capture that I had based on the environment that was running. So that's a very good question. So the question was, don't you need SP1 for this? For Azure environments, no. You don't. You can do this using the current release of System Center 2012. SP1 will allow you, and what they demoed this morning is, say I had a hoster who provided me private cloud services and I wanted to connect to that. That's the feature that's coming in SP1, of being able to actually, okay, could be a third-party service provider. I don't want to necessarily name one, but pick whoever. Say if you're outsourced and they provide outsourced private cloud services for infrastructure and you want to connect to those and manage your own slice, SP1 would provide that capability, provided that other provider has written it using our service provider framework. So it's a question you want to work with them to talk through, but that is an SP1 scenario. This, what I'm showing here, this is now. This is everything that's available right here and now. Infrastructure as a service is not within Azure, not yet. This is for Azure-based applications. IaaS. I got to double check on that. I don't think so. Definitely an SP1, because we released 2012, and then we've got all the new Azure stuff coming out, as you heard. There's a little bit of a overlap between, okay, what's out here, what's now coming in SP1, what's coming with Windows Server 2012. So we'll get some clarity on that one if I can get your details afterwards. So let me just present this. There we go. Okay. So first thing I want you to know, we've got two Windows Azure subscriptions, development and staging. We're going to add a new production information. I got my subscription ID. I'm going to pull up and grab my certificate and type in my password and hit OK. Give some details. So I've added, first thing I wanted to do is I go and add another Azure subscription into my environment. I got that. It now shows up, and I can deploy. Open up the details related to a particular application. In this case, a application called Customer Demographics, which is currently sitting out in Azure. It's a hosted service. I have two roles available in here, my front-end server and my application server. Check the properties. I can see I've got a couple of instances. I want to scale that out. Go from two instances to three instances. Again, I'm still an app controller, but I'm now managing a Azure-based application, and I'm going to tell this, hey, you need another instance of my front-end or my application server because I got to deal with scale. Click OK. I hit Update. We can see for this particular case, my application is now undergoing a change. I get a little icon up here in the right saying this is changing, and a little bar down here saying the Azure service update job has started. So in the background, Azure's now scaling out that role and that service and creating another instance of my application. Give it some time, hit refresh, and it's done. I now have five servers running because I scaled from four to five by adding another instance of my particular application. Again, through App Controller, managing both private and public cloud-based applications. For my customer demographics, again, I'm going to look on-premise, open up my on-premise-based production application. I have my different tiers. And just like I scaled out the Azure-based application, I can scale out my on-premise applications by adding another instance to my tier. And we can see my scale-out operation has started. It's updating itself. Hit refresh, it's done. Oop, that's it. And I've gone again from four to five instances of my particular application. So through System Center 2012 through the App Controller component. I can manage both my applications in Azure, my applications in my private cloud. Single pane of glass management experience through the browser. No clients to deploy onto your desktop. So let's come back to this application delivery lifecycle. We talked about the application specification, where we define the resources and the performance requirements for our application. And then we provision that application template, into the Virtual Machine Manager library. We create our service template. Again, in Virtual Machine Manager, we can then save that template into our library and allow others to deploy it, an instance of it, or ourselves to deploy it. Delegating access, authority, and quota to application owners to give them that empowerment to do that, or we can retain the control for ourselves. Choice is yours, depending on how you want to run your businesses. We can then customize that deployment. Choose the most appropriate cloud. Choose where we want to deploy an application, how we want it to be configured at the time of deployment. Deploy our service, move the application to production, add in maintenance routines, configure application performance monitoring, and then start the deployment of the application. And then be able to update that application, manage it, monitor it, make sure that the application is maintained effectively, update it as we need to, and redeploy our service, redeploy that application from the template as opposed to managing the actual deployed instance. The key here is being able to make it seamless, make it more easy and standardized to manage, and to deliver the tools to understand how our application's actually running most effectively. Is it up? Great. Is it performing effectively? Who knows? Well, we now know. We can now do that. The analogy I was going to share is if you, like me, have had children in a daycare facility, and I couple times, walked to pick up one of my kids, and I could hear screaming from outside the room. Now, normal virtual machine-centric application management means, okay, I don't know anything more. Just inside the context of that virtual machine, something's screaming. I don't know if someone's in a lot of pain or they're just giggling like crazy having a grand old time until I open the door. Application performance monitoring within Ops Manager is about opening the door, seeing into our application and understanding what's really going on. Yes, it's up. Yes, it's performing poorly. So we got to fix that. Or yes, it's up. Yes, it's performing well. Good customer experience. Ask yourselves, what are you able to provide your customers right now? Do you know if the application's up? Yes or no? Do you know if it's not up or it's up? Is it running to the expected performance levels? And our other thing is, are you paying somebody else for that tool? Not realizing, guess what? You own it now. If you've got Ops Manager. Three things I want to leave you with, and then I've left some time for questions. Application self-service. The ability to empower empowering IT to delegate control out to your application owners. And give them the ability to deploy virtual machines, deploy applications into their own provisioned quota. Second thing is application level performance monitoring. Helping to reduce the mean time to resolution through deep insight of your applications and understanding what's happening in the case of .NET applications down to the code level. And the third piece is applications across clouds. If you've played with Azure, if you've got your own internal consolidated private cloud, you can manage those and delegate control through App Controller and allow people to manage their resources from a single experience. So if any of that resonated, your go do or your get started activity, your call to action, whatever you want to call it, is to go download System Center 2012. It's RTM. It went RTM back at the Microsoft Management Summit back in April. It's available. It's the result of, I think, 6,000 person years of effort to build this application, to build System Center 2012 and release it to market. significant amount of effort. Go download it, try it out, and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it. I'm just the guy telling you, here's how this is, here's what we've built into this to make it work. Go try it out for yourself and see how it works. Across here at TechEd, there is a whole bunch of other sessions. I've listed a couple here related to application monitoring and operations manager, as well as some private cloud exams and hands-on labs there in the green bar that will step you through this in further detail. Again, go try those out. If you want to see some of this hands-on, come down to the product stations and talk to the guys at application management or infrastructure management, or come talk to us at service delivery and automation booth and see how all this is now designed to work together. If you got any questions, when you download this session, that is my Twitter handle, that is my email address. I do respond to queries from customers, and I take this very seriously. If I don't know the answer, I will find one for you and make sure that you have the best possible experience you do with System Center 2012. That's my promise and my commitment to you guys here in this room. So with that, there are additional resources related to TechNet. I want to thank you guys for hanging in there with me and spending time. Please make sure to fill out your evaluations. And I've left, goodness, I got about 14 minutes for questions, so I went a lot faster than I want. So happy to take some additional questions now, if you so choose. If not, you can get a head start in the afternoon tea. Sorry, afternoon snacks. Sorry, I lived overseas for 12 years. Yes. Every once in a while you hear me break into, g'day mate, how you going? That's my Australian accent that I never got. So questions, everybody. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry? What support number? Oh, what's my booth? Oh, goodness. What is my booth number? There's four System Center booths, and they are broken up into application management, infrastructure management, client management and monitoring, and service delivery and automation. The reason we did that is we broke them up by capability. All of this stuff is part of the System Center 2012 application management booth. And there's actually a whole bunch of engineers down there. So, is there another question? Or is this the same one? Must have been the same one. Any others? Yes, sir. So the question is, what's the footprint of the applications to deploy System Center? It is not. So System Center 2012 is not a single installed product. It is a single licensed product that has six components we have a universal installer that you can download freely off the web to actually install everything for you, and it'll spin up all the virtual machines and get an entire environment set up. I can tell you the demo environments that I run for myself is a dual host 64 gig of RAM, I think about a terabyte of disk on each host, and I'm running about 28 virtual machines. And that's all of system, that's database, and that's an entire data center environment. So I got a domain controller, Exchange server, SharePoint server, Link server, database. I got three database servers, and then all the System Center virtual machines. Now that's just a small demo environment with a bunch of other peripheral stuff on it. We've also installed 2012 in as little as about eight virtual machines, because we were able to consolidate it down that much. So it really depends on what kind of environment you want to run on, what scale you want for that environment. So thanks for the question. Any others? Correct. System Center 2012 is licensed as two versions, data center or standard and data center. The only difference in functionality, there is no difference in functionality. I'm sorry, to back up. The question is, System Center comes in how many editions of software? Two, standard and data center, no difference in functionality. The only difference, we differentiate based on number of virtual machines running on the host. And details in terms of how much that cost, that's your account manager. Every time I say that, the account guys in the room just look at me and go, what are you doing? I said, I'm just stating the facts. That's it. Other questions? Okay. Yes, sir. So the question is, for the application performance monitoring to work, do the application developers have to program that in? Yeah, specifically to the performance monitoring piece of Ops Manager. So just to repeat it for the recording to make sure. So for application performance monitoring, the code level apps, do the app devs need to code that into their application so that it will work and give you the rich information, all the contextual stuff? The short answer is no. For .NET, the listeners automatically instrument it for you. So no, there is no additional coding required. Yes, that is it's a very nice feature to be able to do that. And yeah, you don't have to do additional coding. Unfortunately, no, we don't do that for Java. We don't do that for other non-.NET applications at this time. It's something that we are looking at and taking feedback from customers and figuring out what's going to be the most effective way there. We can still monitor non-.NET applications, not to the code level. We monitor at the executable level. Yes, sir. The question is the application performance monitoring overhead significant enough that you only want to turn it on at certain times? It's going to depend on your server hardware. Is it a significant overhead on the server? Not really. But if you're running on low spec hardware, yes, you might encounter a bit of a performance lag, but the listener is very small. From talking to the engineers, it's, I think, maybe a 1 or 2% utilization on the CPU. But again, if your CPU is already maxed out at 98%, okay. But double check with the engineers down at the booth and see, get them some more details. But everything they've told me is no, it is not a significant load on it. Another question, sir. So the question is it agentless or is there an agent on the server? It's the part of the Ops Manager agent. So you're going to have the Ops Manager agent already on that machine. It's in there. So the question is it possible to auto-scale an application using this? Yes. Let me qualify this. Using System Center 2012, yes. Depending on the type of application and how you wrote the application, you can either embed that inside a virtual machine manager or you can encapsulate it inside of an orchestrator runbook to scale out an application. Let me actually flip over for those who left. They're going to miss this. But that's okay. So I've got, let me scroll down, come over here to my template. So first thing I want to show you is here. I'm selecting my web tier here in my particular service template. And one thing I didn't walk through but will show you here, I have a tick box here. This computer can be scaled, tier can be scaled out. This computer tier can be scaled out. I'll say that correctly. We start with, what's my default instance count? What's my maximum instance count, minimum, and number of upgrade domains? This allows me to predefine for those who are going to be managing and deploying this application how many instances you can or can't scale out or can scale up to for a particular instance. Now, you could then automatically do this as part of a number of different ways. Ops Manager detects an alert, performance issue related to a particular instance, runs a PowerShell script that actually automatically scales it out. You can go in Virtual Machine Manager to that deployed instance and say and manually select it to scale it out. You can create an orchestrator runbook that runs in that does the automatic scale out as well. There's about half a dozen different ways to actually do that, perform that scale out either manually or automatically using System Center 2012. It's really up to you as the customer how you want to configure that and set it up. Another piece here is that upgrades domain. Now, this is a piece that is really kind of cool and really gets at how do we ensure that we don't have any downtime of an application when we're upgrading it. So Say, for example, I have an instance of my Contoso Expense Manager. I have two web service tiers, two SQL tiers, and two front tiers. And I've specified here number of upgrade domains is 2. What that's going to do when I go to deploy a new instance or a new updated template is it will take down only half of a deployed tier, upgrade it, bring it back up, take down the second half, upgrade it, bring it back up. And the application remains in sync. Now, sounds kind of like, last time I discussed this with a customer, they sat there and looked at me and said, "You're talking about magic, right?" I said, it looks like it. This requires your application to actually have been programmed and built in a way that it recognizes upgrade domain capability. It's not going to do this out of the box for an existing app. Key to note. But if you're building a new application with System Center 2012, if you want to build in the awareness for handling upgrade domains and handling drops in instances and maintaining data integrity, we can actually manage that and do that for you now. Some of the features that are part of System Center 2012 have taken into account there's going to be some catch-up from applications as they get rewritten, both for the cloud and for on-premise applications to take advantage of more management capabilities, either through Server App V, through upgrade domains, auto-scaling, and the like. But there's a lot we can do right now. So this is your platform for now and going forward to be able to manage those applications. A long answer to question of, yes, you can auto-scale. There's about 3-4 different ways, or even more, that you can do that actual job. So thank you for the question. Any others? Yes, sir. So the question is, are there plans for integrating any other public cloud provider? You would have seen in the keynote this morning some demonstration that's part of our SP1 release about linking out to hoster-provided public cloud or private cloud resources. That's a demonstration of things to come. Yes, it's there. Well, that was showing Windows Azure, but also showing through our what's called our service provider framework, the ability to connect out to other similar non-Azure-based cloud resources and bringing them and managing them through. Where is it? Through App Controller and being able to connect to that. So that is something, yes, that you saw in the keynote this morning. Yes, we can talk about it. It's something that is coming. More to follow. Stay tuned. Great. Oh, last question. Sorry. I keep looking over my monitor. Yes, sir. So can I manage multiple shared resources? Yep. Okay. So the question is, I think I understand the question. If you've got several hundred, if not a couple thousand websites sitting across a series of IIS servers in a cluster, can System Center manage that? Yes. I'd want to understand a little bit more about how your environment's set up. I don't see why not, but again, let's scratch the surface a little bit more and understand a little bit more to say, yes, here's how you would want to do it. It might also get a little bit beyond my knowledge, and I want to pull in an engineer to better understand that, but I don't see why we couldn't. Cool. Gentlemen, thank you, or ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. There were a couple here. For your time, please make sure to fill out your evaluations. I look at all the feedback and definitely appreciate good scores. So thank you very much.